to each and every one of you. It is a delightful blessing that God has allowed us to assemble here this morning for the purpose of worshiping Him in keeping with His instructions in the New Testament. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have hope of eternal life. Because, as we mentioned earlier this morning, on that Sunday morning, following His burial on that previous Friday, the tomb was empty, and the tomb was open. The tomb was open. The stone had been rolled back, not so that Christ could get out, but so the disciples could go in and verify its emptiness. You see, Christ could have just come through the walls of the tomb. He didn't have to have an open door to make His exit from the sepulcher. But the angel rolled the stone away, opened up the tomb. And when the followers of Christ came to inspect the tomb, they found that the tomb was not only open, but it was empty. Because of the empty tomb, our lives can be meaningfully filled. Your life, even today, can be filled with peace. Your life can be filled with joy. Your life can be filled with hope of eternal life. And we are staking our all on the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many of you want to go to heaven? Okay, I'm going to raise both my hands. How many of you plan to go to heaven? Very good. We have hope of heaven. Our hope rests solidly on the testimony of God's Word. We are staking our lives and we are staking our eternal futures on the resurrection of Christ. And there's every reason to believe that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, and that Jesus rose again from the dead. And He is alive now forevermore. That's something that we can celebrate. That's something that we can be grateful for. And we don't have to wait till so-called Easter Sunday to do it. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Lord's Day, every first day of the week. When we come together on the first day of the week, that is in verification of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday morning. And as I mentioned this morning, whenever we are baptizing people for the remission of their sins, when we take them down into the water and bring them up out of the water, they experience a spiritual resurrection, and they are to walk from thenceforth in newness of life. Whenever we come and baptize an individual, and when we bury him in the likeness of Christ's death, and we bring him up in the likeness of Christ's resurrection, we are proclaiming, we are validating, we are verifying the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 6. Anybody having any new outfits on today? New dress, new hat, new suit, new shoes, new socks. Yeah, somebody has some new stuff on. I don't know, people don't seem to buy new stuff as much as they used to. And of course, you don't have to. As nice as it is to have a new suit or a new dress or a new hat or a new coat or some new shoes, there's nothing better than experiencing a new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the very best new thing you can have, is a new life in Christ. Remember, Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus makes a new life possible for all of us. Galatians 6, I want to focus on two verses, verse number 2, verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Verse number 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I want to call your attention also to a passage in the Old Testament, Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then a corresponding passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to talk to you this morning about living with life's loads. Living with life's loads. How do you live with life's loads? It is an incontestable fact that today we live in a chaotic and confusing world, and that our world is one in which we are tempted and tried by the various loads, the various burdens of life. As a matter of fact, I think in the context of our present day society, we can describe ourselves as a heavy load people, living in a heavy load society. All of us have to deal with life's loads. You see, in our world today, we are struck down by struggles. We are pulled down by problems. We are beaten down by burdens. We are held down by hardships. This is true for all of us, not just a few of us, not just some of us, but it's true of all of us. All of us have burdens to bear in this world. If you are a man or a woman, if you are a son or a daughter, you're going to have some loads to bear in this life. You're going to experience various troubles in this life, and you have to deal with them. There's no other way around it. You have to deal with various burdens and various loads in life. Job was right when he affirmed in Job 14 and verse 1 that man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. If you live long enough, you're going to have to carry some burdens. Invisible burdens tend to be the heaviest burdens of all. And the question is, how do we deal effectively with the burdens of life? I want to suggest to you, based on Galatians 6:5, Galatians 6:2, and Psalm 55:22, that there are three principal ways to handle the burdens of life. Three principal ways by which we can meaningfully and effectively live with the loads of life. Now, the first way, some burdens in life must be shouldered. Bear your own burdens. That's called self-assistance. I don't think anybody can contest this. Some burdens in life must be shouldered. You have to bear them yourself. These burdens are what we call non-transferable burdens. The word burden in verse number 5 means to bear, to carry something like a personal military backpack. You see, when the army gives you a backpack to carry, you have to carry that backpack yourself. You cannot give your backpack for somebody else to carry. You must carry your own backpack. These burdens are non-transferable. Now, I want us to look, when we think about burdens that are non-transferable, burdens that we must shoulder, I want us to think about three different kinds of burdens that we must shoulder, burdens that we can't transfer to somebody else. And I want you to think in terms of these being personal backpacks of responsibility. The first kind of burden that we must shoulder is the backpack of salvation. This is a burden of personal responsibility that must be carried by each individual. Nobody, you see, can be saved for you. Now, everybody needs to be saved, but nobody can be saved for you. Nobody can obey the gospel for you. You must obey it for yourself. Nobody can hear and believe the gospel story for you. Nobody can repent of your sins for you. You must repent of your own sins, and you cannot repent too soon because you do not know when it will be too late. Nobody can confess Christ for you. Everybody must confess him for themselves. Jesus said, "Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever will deny me before men, him will I deny also before my Father which is in heaven." Everybody has the responsibility of confessing Christ for himself. We often refer to Hebrews 10 and verse 10. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your mama can't confess Christ for you. Your daddy can't confess Christ for you. Your granny can't confess Christ for you. Your brother can't confess Christ for you. Your sister can't confess Christ for you. Your daughter can't confess Christ for you. Your uncle and aunt can't confess Christ for you. You have to confess Christ for yourself. Every tongue shall confess. And you either confess now voluntarily, or you will confess under pressure and duress later. Nobody can be baptized for the remission of your sins for you. You know, there is no legitimate baptism by proxy. And I know the Mormons teach that you can be baptized for dead relatives who've been dead for years, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Each individual has to be baptized for himself in order to have his sins remitted. You must do all of these things for yourself. Salvation, in this sense, is a personal backpack of individual responsibility that one must bear for himself. Then we also want to think in terms of the non-transferable burden of responsibility of the backpack of service. The backpack of service. And First, as we think about the backpack of service, we think about the backpack of service that involves worship. Nobody can worship for you. Each individual must worship for him or herself. There's only one spectator in the worship service, and that's God. God is the audience. Everybody else is a participator in the worship experience. Everybody is expected to be involved in worship for himself or herself. You see, nobody can sing for you. You know, when I look out over the audience and see the various ones singing, and sometimes you'll see some folk not singing. I don't know if they feel like somebody's singing for them or not. You know, somebody might feel like, well, my voice does not really sound that good. I'm not too good at singing, so I'll just sit here and I'll just listen to other folks sing. I'll let them do my singing for me. But there is no such animal. Nobody can worship for you. Nobody can sing for you. You can be sitting next to your mama, but she can't sing for you. You can be sitting next to Eric Proud. He got a pretty good singing voice, but he can't sing for you. He has to sing for himself. As long as you can make a joyful noise, the Lord will accept your singing if it comes from the heart. You must worship for yourself. Nobody can pray for you. Somebody says, well, wait a minute, Brother Jones. Somebody can pray for me because the fellow leading in prayer, he's praying for me. No, he's not praying for you. He's praying with you and leading you. You should be praying with him. You don't just put your mind in neutral while the prayer leader is leading. You are praying right along with him. He is simply leading. He is guiding us in our thinking as we pray to God together. Now, nobody can pray for you. Not only that, nobody can partake of the Lord's Supper for you. You have to partake of the emblems for yourself. You have to take of the bread for yourself. You have to take of the fruit of the vine for yourself. Nobody can listen to the message for you. You have to listen to it for yourself. Nobody can give for you. And you can have a congregation full of rich folk, but neither one of them can give a dime for you. You have to give for yourself. You bear the burden of personal responsibility for giving as you have prospered. The whole of the worship experience has to be engaged in by each and every individual person who is involved in the worship service. You know, I know we sing together, we blend our voices together, but God is looking at us individually as we worship him. And I want to indicate that if you are a part of the body, if you are a member of the family of God, God expects you to fully participate in the worship experience. You know, our young people who have been baptized, who have obeyed the gospel, God expects you to listen to the message with good attention. God expects you to be respectful and to pray. He don't intend for you to be playing in the worship service. You must be engaged. If you are old enough to be baptized and to make a commitment to live for Christ, you are old enough to be meaningfully and sincerely and seriously involved in worshiping God. And our parents of young children need to ensure that this is the case. The backpack of service that involves worship. Nobody can carry it for you. It's your responsibility to carry it out for yourself. Then we look at the backpack of service that involves work. Nobody can do your work for you. You must work out your soul's salvation for yourself in fear and trembling. There's a personal niche of responsibility to work that only you can fill. There are personal tasks for you to do. There's a life for you to live. Every Christian has his own personal backpack of work responsibility to carry, and nobody can carry it for him or her. Not only is this the case, but we also need to focus attention on the backpack of separation. This backpack of separation signifies that each person has to deal with the burden of his own sins. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 expresses it very well. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What I'm saying is we have to deal with our own sins. Now, when I talk about the backpack of separation as it relates to our own personal sins, our own personal sins have resulted in us being lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm responsible for my own sins, not the sins of my wife, not the sins of my daughter, not the sins of my brother, not the sins of my sister, not the sins of my mama, not the sins of my daddy. I'm responsible for my own sins. And my own sins are responsible for separating me from God. And I am responsible for repenting of those sins and separating myself from those sins in the process of obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ezekiel 18:20 reads, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Sin troubles the waters of affliction. Sin pollutes the stream of morality. Sin soils the garments of righteousness. And sin has to be dealt with on a personal and individual basis. James 5:16 tells us, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, James says, James 5:16, that we should confess our faults. That is, the individual should confess his faults. The individual should confess his sins. You know, sometimes people like to confess other folks' faults, confess other folks' sins. I haven't heard it recently, but I've heard in times past of folk coming up and making a confession, and then they start confessing other folks' sins. So you ain't got no business confessing nobody else's sins. You know, confess your sins. Confess your faults. You know, somebody come up and say, "Now, I want y'all to pray for my husband. He got a bad sin problem. He got a bad temper. I want y'all to pray for my wife. She has a serious gambling problem. I want y'all to pray for my son. He has a serious drinking problem." You know, that might be, but it's better if your son can confess his own drinking problem. It's best if your husband can confess his own bad temper. It's best if your wife can confess her own gossiping problem and cussing problem. That's something that she should confess for herself. Because everybody has the responsibility to take care of his or her own sins. Everybody has the responsibility to repent of his or her own sins. You can't repent for somebody else. So these are non-transferable burdens that must be shouldered by the individual. Bear your own burdens. That's self-assistance. Secondly, some burdens must be shared. Mutual assistance. Bear you one another's burdens. Some burdens in life are so heavy that they require mutual assistance. These burdens must be shared. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the mutuality of our responsibilities in the church and of our mutual reciprocal relationships with each other. The church is designed so that we can be supportive of each other. It is designed so that we can help each other. It is designed so that we can assist each other. It is designed so that we can help bear each other's burdens. And all of us in life periodically experience various burdens, various loads, and some loads that are just almost too much for one person to handle. That's why it's good if you have your good mate that can help you out. Have a good partner that is there for you, that is there to assist you as you strive to live a meaningful life. Having somebody right there with you to help you out when you get into trouble, to have somebody there with you who can lift you up when you have fallen. You need a partner. You need somebody that is there for you and is there to help you and there to assist you. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 25, Paul says, speaking of the body and the various members of the body, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, as I have gone through my illness and I'm still going through my illness, there have been so many who have helped me to bear the burden of sickness. My wife has been there to help me to bear the burden of sickness. My daughter has been there to help me to bear the burden of sickness. The elders have been there to help me. Bear the burden of sickness. And my brothers and sisters from the congregation have been here to help me to bear. We need to always remember that we need each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9 through 12, I think epitomizes the concept of us as God's people helping to bear each other's burdens. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting with verse number 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And if two lie together, they shall have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There are some burdens that we need some help with. That's mutual assistance. Lend a hand, share a shoulder. There are many occasions when we need the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ. However, a serious word of caution is in order. When we talk about mutual assistance, when we talk about burdens that must be shared, we need to keep in mind that this is not a transference of a burden. You see, some people with good hearts wind up carrying another's burdens for them. You know, somebody said that we live in the valley of OPP, other people's problems. Unfortunately, sometimes we allow other people's problems to become our problems. Sometimes, unfortunately, we get so emotionally attached to folk we love that we end up carrying their burdens for them. And they have no responsibility to carry their own burden. And they keep on making the same mistakes over and over and over again. There are folk who have children that have bad habits and hang-ups that they are never going to drop because they are never allowed to suffer the consequences for their own egregious mistakes. The church must be careful not to operate in extremes. Some folks won't do anything to help anybody. Doesn't make any difference what the need might be. But on the other extreme, there are others in the church who want to do so much for other folk that they don't have to do anything for themselves. And they abandon the responsibility for carrying their own burdens. That's not good. We must maintain a readiness to help and assist others in positive and appropriate ways, but we should not take on the burdens of others that they need to be carrying for themselves. We can help them, but we don't just take their burdens, okay, I'll carry this for you, and allow them to just dump that responsibility on somebody else. You must be responsible for helping at least to carry your own burden. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And of course, we can bear one another's burdens. We can help each other with our burdens. We can bear one another's burdens by weeping with those who weep, by bandaging the bruised, by aiding the ailing, by healing the hurting, by succoring the suffering, by delivering the defeated, by refreshing the run down, and by fortifying the faint-hearted. Some burdens must be shared. You must bear one another's burdens. That's mutual assistance. Some burdens must be shouldered. Bear your own burdens. That's self-assistance. And then as we close, some burdens must be shed. cast your burden upon the Lord. That's divine assistance. These burdens that must be shared, they are the only transferable burdens that we have to deal with. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. We often bring our burdens to the Lord and then take them back home with us. Remember, when you do what you can, God will do what you can. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And finally, Psalm 40 and verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. How do you handle life's loads? Three noble ways. First of all, there are some burdens that must be shouldered. You must bear your own burden. Self-assistance. Secondly, there are some burdens that must be shared. Bear one another's burdens. Mutual assistance. And then finally, there are some burdens that we just need to share. Cast your burden upon the Lord. That is divine assistance. There are some burdens that are just too heavy for you to carry. You know, there are certain things with reference to our lives that we have no control over. You know, I think about my illness, and I don't want to belabor the point, but the way things worked out, the way things were timed, the way things were sequenced, there was no way I could have orchestrated any of that so that I would have had the proper test and the proper discoveries would have been made and the proper decisions made, so that it could be determined exactly what was wrong with me and how to remedy what was wrong with me. I couldn't just worry about what was going to happen. I had to turn those burdens over to the Lord. I had to just shed them. There's no need trying to shoulder them. I turned it over to the Lord. And so, Lord, you take care of it. There's no need of me staying up all night worrying and tossing and turning. Since you're going to be up all night anyway, you just take the problem and you deal with it. We have to share some of our burdens and just allow the Lord to handle them for us. Jesus, in his infinite love for you and me, he bore on the cross the burden of our sins, of your sins and mine. Everything you ever did wrong, every transgression you ever committed, every sin you ever did, from the first lie you told to the first cookie you stole, everything wrong you have ever done, Jesus bore the burden of your sin on the cross of Calvary. While we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he thus bore the burden of our sins. And he paid the penalty for our sins. That's what happened when Jesus died on the cross that Friday evening. They placed him in a borrowed tomb that Friday evening. But early on Sunday morning, he rose from the grave with all power in his hands, having made our salvation possible. And we don't have to worry about trying to carry our sins and trying to struggle under the ominous and oppressive weight of our iniquities and transgressions. We can get rid of all of them. He's made the provisions for us to shed our sins. And you don't have to be burdened down with the oppressive weight of guilt and shame. If you are to claim the redemption that is available and the salvation that he has made possible, all he asks you to do is believe that good news of the gospel, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And he'll make you a part of his family. He'll give you a new beginning. You can start all over. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can get a new start even today. If you're not yet a Christian, you can become one. If you're already a Christian, but you've fallen by the wayside and you can use a new beginning, you can have a new start as well through repentance, confession, and prayer. You might not have a new hat or a new coat, a new suit or a new dress or some new shoes, but you can have a new life, a new beginning, if you're willing to obey the Lord today. Will you do it now as we together stand?
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falling tenderly upon your ear. So sweet his cry of love and pity calling, turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear
labor and are heavy laden,
come and I will give you rest. Take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly.
Why not obey the Lord today?
His burden to him turn. He who calleth is the master holy. He will teach it for you. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean.